If you're lucky, you get to have a job, a vocation, a hobby, a life that lets you do what you want when you feel it needs to be done. And if you're smart, you recognize when it's the case. I'm not sure if I'm lucky and/or smart, but I do recognize that what I'm doing for the Internet Archive is an incredible opportunity. And none of that is more obvious than working on my current project, which is called Operation Big Chungus. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Operation Big Chungus came around as a result of the massive collection of user-contributed data to the Internet Archive. Back in the days of textfiles.com, when a couple text files being contributed, or even a few zip files, represented the mass of data that was coming in, at the Internet Archive, it's not unheard of for something on the range of terabytes to arrive from just folks. The Internet Archive has a number of partner organizations and institutions that it works with. In general, those folks have been properly informed how to set up their objects, upload them to the archive, arrange for the metadata to be properly set in, and be able to do so consistently and with very little help from us. But users, just plain old users, who know that this Internet Archive place seems to have near infinite storage space for what they think has to be preserved for future generations, well, they kind of make it up as they go along. Ideally, we would have some sort of simple guide on exactly how to set up your uploads, but for the moment, we don't do it. People are uploading thousands of items a day, and they range in quality, size, and redundancy. Part of my job, or at least part of what I made my job, was analyzing these incoming streams of material, trying to find things that could be classified, put into sub-collections elsewhere on the archive, and therefore be easier to find for other patrons. This has resulted in things like Folk Scanomy, Folk Soundomy, The Magazine Rack, Air Checks, each one of them representing hundreds, maybe thousands of contributors who all had the same general idea and whose work I was able to put together for others to more easily find what they wanted. But even with that work, and it's been a lot of years of work, there have been many, many objects that have escaped our scrutiny, avoided my gaze. So, over time, I've been developing more and more scripts to assist me as finding aids, going in and finding a specific type of file, a specific type of digital material, so that I can analyze it very quickly and get it to a home. For example, CD-ROM images. A script goes through uploads, discovers when people have uploaded ISOs and bin queues, some sort of CD-ROM with a cover image, and helps me see them all so that I can sort them and get them into the CD-ROM software library. Without doing this, it would be very hard to find many of them. They lack descriptions, titles, names, indications of what's there. But the script never lies, and the script never sleeps. It finds them, shows them to me, and as a result, the CD-ROM software library has tens of thousands of CD-ROMs. That led me to one of my more oddly named but most important projects, Operation Big Chungus. It helps to understand what Big Chungus is. A fascinating thing that's been happening in recent years are younger people finding media in 20, 40, even 60 and 70 years ago and refashioning them into some sort of icon or reference or meme. One of these is a very short scene in a Bugs Bunny cartoon where, for one particular moment, he imitates the girth of an early version of Elmer Fudd. That drawing of an extremely large Bugs Bunny smiling and looking at the camera has been named Big Chungus, and Big Chungus has his very own movement, his very own imagery, and his very own fan art. I found that name fascinating. So, when I set off to find an entire underground set of files that had been living on the Internet Archive, I named it Operation Big Chungus. Big Chungus has been going through the last 12 or 13 years of uploads to the Internet Archive, all through the unsorted community collections, ones where there is no organization behind them, no rules on how the uploads work or how many metadata fields are filled, even a lack of rules about how you would construct the archives inside or how much would go in there. And I've been running Big Chungus against all of these, finding the absolute largest files that have no home. For whatever reason, they avoided scrutiny, they avoided classification, and then finally, finding them a home. I'll get some of the records out of the way. The largest unclassified item that I could find in the Internet Archive collection was 8 terabytes. 8 terabytes. What makes this fascinating is that you shouldn't be able to do that. Some years ago, responding, of all things, to me, the developers at the Internet Archive put in limits. It's actually not supposed to be possible to be able to upload anything larger than 2 terabytes. The theory being, if it's 2 terabytes, you've made a terrible mistake. Well, somebody has made a 400% mistake beyond that. And besides this 8 terabyte monster, which appears to be Linux distributions, there's a few 4 terabytes and a couple 2 terabyte items in the Big Chungus list. These were finally given homes in Linux distribution collections, and so the largest number in the Big Chungus collection jumped down quickly. After about a dozen classifications, I was already down to items that were 800 or 900 gigabytes, which is still significant, still huge, but not as bad as the rest. As I started to move through these different items, I started to find trends. In the last few years, folks have felt the need to mirror lots, and I mean lots, of Twitch streams. Not Twitch streams full of content of people talking or sharing information, but just someone playing a video game. Many, many hours of people playing video games are on the archive. And there's an argument for and against it. For is that it's definitely a major part of culture. It's definitely a part of what makes us, in the modern era, us. Talking about the games they're playing, interacting with their users, and so on. The question becomes, are we saving that much data for that little amount of information? Maybe we only want a highlight reel of different streamers going through their paces so we can see the range of performances that a streamer does. Creating a forensic quality trail of hundreds of hours of the same person playing Call of Duty or Warhammer is perhaps not the best use of a nonprofit's storage. I have no problem with a person on the outside who has dedicated a lot of terabytes to saving a particularly beloved or maybe a particularly obsessive web streamer. But maybe the archive isn't the greatest home for this. Regardless, terabytes of Twitch streams are on the Internet Archive. Another collection that has a huge footprint seems to be collections of ROMs. That's the way of the world. ROM packs, collections of software repackaged into small, compressed collections that are then compressed into larger collections are a staple of the modern era. If something came out commercially in the last, let's say, 40 or 50 years, we are probably going to have at least one or two examples of that program available. It may not be every version, it may not be every specific mod or every support file that made it do different things over the years, but we're producing a footprint here of all of the games, all of the programs, all of the computer software industry that's out there. For this, we have many more terabytes. Then things get interesting. What else is there to have? Software and video. What else are people uploading in these large, uncompressed, undescribed footprints of the big chungus? Happily, some of them are actual academic data sets, things which have a huge historical value, both for the report they were generated for and for others to take use of in years to come. Some of them are 200, 300, 400 gigabytes of stored data from government sites, Twitter and tweet collections, PDFs of reports, and audio and video files representing what was analyzed for the papers. I love when I find those, and there's a datasets collection on the Internet Archive specifically for things like this. Giving those terabytes their final home has been delightful. There's also been packages of video that represent things like television shows from different countries, or wrestling videos compiled by a real fan. Maybe collections of different cutscenes from different video games, repackaged and upscaled, and a lot of sports television. Cases where people compile an entire season of a sport, including all of the analysis programs, the matches, the finals, all put together into one single item, which takes a year, no joke, a year to derive web streamable versions. We have some derivations running multiple years at the archive when you create a big chungus object. And when I had gotten through the low-hanging fruit, the ones that spoke for themselves were clearly just underdescribed or something where we didn't see what it said before, and now that I was running a script against it to look at them one after another, knowing that each one was huge, I discovered I had moved a half petabyte of data into the stacks. So I knew the Big Chungus project was already a success. Now, as I'm moving through the remainders, things get weird. There are a whole different ranges of reasons that a person would create a 100 gigabyte or larger object. One example is what I call a dump. Now, if you've come up through an era of the old FTP sites, hotline servers, and so on, you know about dumps. Dumps are where they put all of the good stuff with major air quotes of good. Things where everybody said, we have to have a copy of this. Low-resolution versions of hot television shows, collected and cracked versions of programs, collections that are thought to be funny, weird, shareable. This is the province of people with scattered minds, endless distractions, who are building a small pile, a rat's nest, really, of what they thought was shiny and beautiful. Honestly, a magpie nest of foil and straw, consisting of dozens, sometimes hundreds, occasionally thousands, of interesting, unusual, and weird tars, zips, and 7-zips. And there's one that I really want to share, because this was one that made me lean back in my chair and just laugh. It was called Don't Tell Anybody. It was a dump. It was a bunch of random files. I would say it was somewhere in the range of maybe 200 gigabytes. And the description, paraphrased, basically said, don't tell anybody. Don't link to this. don't favorite it. And we can all have this with us for a very long time. Keep it to yourselves and don't be a snitch. This was written as the description on the object sitting, floating in the community media tank of the archive. There was something just so tree fort, so keep out about that description. That attempt to hijack the disk drives for the purposes of a small but hilarious set of found foil for this magpie nest, and a demand among everyone to keep the secret among themselves. This speaks to the inside-out problem I've talked about, where people think of these sort of locations as being extraordinarily private, or something that they can control utterly any access to, even though everything about the technology is meant to be shared. The fact that the Internet Archive client can search for large collections and find these is not important. What's important is they don't feel it should be possible, so it shouldn't be possible. Moving on from that lovely cul-de-sac, our smaller and smaller, yet relatively intense sets of programs, of magazines, of audio recorded at events. For example, a full 72 hours, no joke, 72 hours of the live stream of the Revision 2018 demo party. Literally a camera at the back of the tent, as they set up the cameras, set up the televisions, the computers, the desks, the snack bar, people walking around, stuff going on the screen, folks going around day and night, then the full demo show, then them packing up. If you need it, the Internet Archive has it. It is as huge and untenable as you imagine. There's piles of instruction manuals, piles of unclassified books, grabbed ironically both from the Internet Archive and elsewhere, smushed into some sort of snowball of all these things that a person thought was both important and which, having retrieved them from the archive, felt the greatest place to store them would also be the archive. And as my scripts showed me more and more of these collections, these balls of wax, I felt a warm feeling about how we think of the world. That in many ways, we could, of course, focus on having one item per object, one cassette tape, one magazine, one academic report or newsletter. But these people see the world a little bit differently. They see them as boxes, small, open-ended boxes that they put all sorts of precious or important materials in, making it save itself by being not just a single object that gets lost in the wind and the tides, but a collection, to the barest minimum of that phrase, clumped together in a way that gives it force. Like a group of friends bonding together to take on a project, putting all of these disparate files into one singular object, one pile of gigabytes and in some cases even terabytes, planting them into the earth of the Internet Archive and hoping, beyond hope, that their work will flower, will grow, be unstoppable, be protected against oblivion, against loss, and against the wrath of what they would probably perceive to be the scary visage of the Big Chungus. But I have a twist for them. The Big Chungus is a moment in time, the moment when their efforts, their guess, their surprisingly lovable effort to fight entropy was recognized, admired, given a proper home, and, until the next chapter of the Internet Archive, is as safe and cozy as a warm drink poured from a thermos underneath a waterproof tent in the most driving and dark of rain. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bakoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Michael Rubin, Ernie Hershey, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Symbionts, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. That you can upload as much as you can to the Internet Archive and very little gets in your way is both a blessing, a curse, and a temporary situation. In the expanse of time, it's going to become untenable. There's no doubt about that. Right now, we live in a world where folks can create an account and begin uploading almost immediately. Over time, we've made those uploads less viewable in the search engine, less likely to be used as hosting for spam and phishing. But that work, as it goes on, will inevitably lead to adding more and more barriers to uploads. It's a shame, because there are some truly unusual and random things that are up simply because a person, without training, without some sort of introduction, decided that this needed to be saved. My hope is that as the walls close and go up with the archive, that there will be people who are bridging entities, who go out and find collections of materials and know how to speak the language of metadata classification and justification, and be able to still bring things to the Internet Archive, file in, provide the right answers at the right time, and always, I hope forever, keep the big chungus busy.